When I first mention the book of Revelation, what is the first thought that comes into your head? We're going to be looking at Revelation for the next few weeks. I wonder how the thought of that makes you feel. A few folk here have not been coming to church for long. Quite possibly you've never heard of Revelation, or you've heard of it, but you know very little about it. If that's you, you're in for a treat. It's a fantastic book, as I'm about to show us. Others are maybe baffled by it. You've read enough to know that it's full of weird and wonderful visions with coloured horses, dragons, earthquakes, and all sorts of things. You've not read all of Revelation, but you've read enough to know that it's a bit of a mystery. Perhaps that means you're intrigued at the thought of looking at it together. Intrigued, but not quite convinced it has any relevance beyond being intriguing. Other people don't like it. In the Harry Potter movies, one of the class textbooks was called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. In 2001, J.K. Rowling published a book of the same name in aid of comic relief, and there's a spin-off film from that planned for this autumn. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them belongs in the world of Harry Potter. Revelation is fantasy writing, and fun though it may be, it shouldn't be in the Bible. Somebody else I know thinks that John, who wrote it, had taken some kind of hallucinogenic drugs when he wrote it. There's no other way to explain the bizarre psychedelic content that you get within it. But a few people love it. It's a favourite book of theirs because it's there that they find their favourite doctrines, a particular view of the end times or politics, the secrets of history unlocked. In the book of Revelation, look hard enough, the Bayeux tapestry is in there. And Revelation has a long history of being hijacked to support quirky beliefs held only by a few. And sadly, that then puts other people off the book entirely. Revelation breeds crackpots, and it has no constructive purpose in today's church. A whole range of views. What comes into your head when I mention the book of Revelation? How does the thought of looking at it over the next few Sundays make you feel? Today's reading was short. Our Bible calls it the prologue. Others call it the title. It sets out for us the kind of book Revelation is, which means it tells us how we should view it and how we should read it. When you go to a bookshop and buy a book, or these days order one online, you need to know basic things. Am I ordering something that is in the fiction or non-fiction section of the shelf? That's important to get your bearings. And if it's non-fiction, is it cookery or finance? And if it's fiction, is it romance or period? You know, you need to know the difference of the kind of book you're in, otherwise you'll read it totally wrong. And if what you actually bought was an Ordnance Survey map, and you read it as though it was a piece of romantic fiction, then the list of items in the text, the key to the various symbols, will look totally different from if you know full well you've just bought yourself a map. You need to know what kind of book you're in, and that's the purpose of this opening paragraph. So I've got four headings for us as we look at these opening three verses. Firstly, Revelation is the Word of God. Revelation is the Word of God. Verse 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. There's something here that God wishes to reveal. When I first read Revelation as a boy, at the age of 12 or 13, I think I was, I got stuck on that very first word. I had to stop reading and get out my dictionary and look up the word revelation. It means something which is revealed. Something you would not have known except that the person who did know chose to make it known to you. Sir John Chilcot wrote his report into the Iraq War. Nobody knew what was in his report except him and the printers who were sworn to secrecy, which is why he held a public meeting last Wednesday to announce his findings. He needed to reveal them if the rest of us were to know what was in there. Or the tabloid papers publish some bit of pointless and demeaning celebrity gossip, And everyone says what a revelation it was. Well, this book is a revelation. God has something he wants to make known to us that we would not otherwise have known. And as he makes it known, there's a chain. So, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him. So God gave this revelation to Jesus. That Jesus is always the one who makes God known. That's his job. What did Jesus do with this revelation? He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So Jesus sent an angel to a man called John, brother of James, son of Zebedee, the fisherman. And the angel showed John some visions, and he spoke directly to him. And then what did John do with this? Verse 2, he testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Note the pairing, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is what God wants to say, and it's what Jesus Christ bears witness to. This is God speaking to us through his Son, the person of Jesus. So there's the chain. God to Jesus, to his angel, to John, to us. And yes, I mean us, not them. This includes us. God wants to reveal these things to his servants. If you number yourselves amongst those who seek to serve God, then the book of Revelation is for you. And so this comes to us as the word of God. The book of Revelation is what God wants to speak to us. Revelation is the word of God. Second, Revelation is a message for our era. Revelation is a message for our era. Did you notice the detail in verse 1? To show his servants what must soon take place. Now, this is another reason why some people are suspicious of Revelation. It claims to be about events which are going to take place soon. So, either it was talking about events that have happened long ago, soon when he wrote them, but they're now in the past. Or it predicted that the return of Jesus was just around the corner, so it was clearly wrong. And either way, we don't need to worry ourselves with this outdated and misguided book. Well, let's look at those two possibilities. Is Revelation about events that were literally about to take place and therefore for us are in the past? In some cases, quite possibly, yes. In 3 of the 4 Gospels, Jesus predicts at length the Roman destruction of the city of Jerusalem. He said it would occur within one generation, and it happened 40 years later, almost exactly as Jesus said. And we may well find that parts of the book of Revelation are predicting that same event, or other events from the first century. But that doesn't make it irrelevant. We don't chop out of our Bibles Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Jesus might have been predicting an event that happened in the first century, but he didn't predict it only so that the people of his day would know what was going to happen. He wanted them to apply that prediction, have people take it on board and draw out the lessons for daily life. And those lessons still apply today, even though the events being predicted happened long ago. In fact, lots of the Bible works like this. Revelation calls itself a prophecy in verse 3. That means it's a bit like the prophetic books of the Old Testament. Now, there are prophecies in the Old Testament of the virgin birth and the crucifixion in Isaiah. We still read those prophecies. God still speaks to us through them. And in the New Testament, we still read of Jesus predicting Peter's denials, and we read Jesus predict Judas's betrayal, even though the events that he's predicting were in the past for us. We recently commemorated the centenary of the Battle of the Somme. Why? It's 100 years ago. Not because we're just curious to learn a bit about history, and here's our chance here's our excuse to pluck out the Somme and talk about it. No, we commemorate it because it is so very relevant to today. So yes, some of Revelation concerns events from the past. Events that have already taken place way back in the first century. But it's still a message for our own era. What about the other possibility? Is Revelation predicting the return of Jesus? And was it therefore wrong because Jesus did not return as soon as they expected? Answer, yes and no. Yes, some of Revelation predicts the return of Jesus and other events that will happen just before that. But no, the predictions were not wrong because Jesus did not return as soon as expected. So look at what these verses say about the timing. Verse 1, what must soon take place? Verse 3, the time is near. It all depends on what is meant by soon and what is meant by near. Compared to the nearest galaxy, we are very close to the sun. Compared to Sevenoaks, we're very far from the sun, so you have to get your time scales and distances right. The Old Testament looked forward to when the Messiah would come. It predicted a dramatic last day. The writers of the New Testament recognized that Jesus had come and that one day he would come again. And in the meantime, we now live in what they call the last days. From the distance of the Old Testament, it looked like God's Messiah would come and fix everything. And he will. But once you're in the New Testament, it's clear that that will not happen all at once, but over a period of time. But these are still the last days, plural. Jesus has died, risen, ascended, and poured out his Spirit. And the next event in the history of God saving the world is the return of Jesus. When the 2012 London Olympic Games closed, we all said, "Ha! It's Brazil next." Now, actually, lots of things had to happen first, such as the 2014 Commonwealth Games, and so on. You could even say that from August 2012 onwards, the Brazil 2016 Games were soon. You could even say the time is near. The Brazilian authorities had to be getting ready for the Games because they are next on the horizon. They need to be ready. It's the same with the return of Jesus. Now that Jesus has ascended and poured out his Spirit, it's the return of Jesus next. We're in the last days. He's coming soon. The time is near. And as we read Revelation, it will sometimes be talking about the end of time, the return of Jesus, or of events leading up to that, or what will take place in the whole period between now and when he returns. Either way, Jesus is coming soon. The time is near. This is for our era. Revelation is a message for our era, not somebody else's. Third, Revelation is meant to be lived out. It's meant to be lived out. It was written in a time when only a few people could read. So somebody in the church, we pick on the one person who's literate and can read, and we get them to come to the front and read this whole thing out, and everybody else listens. At verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Revelation was a letter written to all the churches in the Roman province of Asia, which is now Western Turkey. And when the letter arrived at your church, you took it to the front and read it aloud. You were doing a good job. And the end of the book contains stern warnings to the people who were doing that public reading not to chop bits out. But it doesn't stop at those who will read in public. Revelation is a book for everyone. It's for all of God's servants. So verse 3 goes on, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it. But even hearing is not the end of the road. Blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. The purpose of listening to God's word, the Bible, is never for our entertainment. It's never just to fill our heads with facts. It's that we take to heart and work out what it will look like if we live this out. And then live it out. The letter of James warns its readers not to listen to what God says without putting it into practice. He says that's like looking in a mirror and then going away forgetting what you look like. So look in mirror, toothpaste round mouth, hair not combed, meat stuck in teeth. Okay. Walk away, go to work, toothpaste round mouth, hair not combed, meat stuck in teeth. It's all very male. Jesus told a parable about two house builders. One built his house on the rock, and one built his house on the sand. The house on the rock withstood the storm, the house on the sand did not. What did those two house builders represent? The one who built on the rock, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. The one who built on the sand, Matthew 7, verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. And Revelation is all the more to be lived out because the time is near. This may well be a book that fascinates us. We may well learn a lot by reading it. We may enjoy being caught up in its colourful visions. We might find bits of it puzzling. But first and foremost, it's a book to be lived, taken to heart and lived. Revelation is meant to be lived out. And fourth, Revelation is given by God to bless us. Revelation is given by God to bless us. A lot of things happen in sevens in the book of Revelation. And we meet the first group of seven here. You know the famous Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And so on. Seven times in Revelation, God pronounces his blessing. There are seven statements in Revelation that run, blessed are those who. And this is the first one. Right here. Blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. God has revealed the things that are in this book because he wants to bless us. He wants us to live in step with reality, in step with where history is heading, in step with his plans and purposes for the world. God wants to bless us. God did not give us this book to give us a riddle, or a headache, or a puzzle, or an amusing comic book. He gave us this book to give us a blessing. Revelation is given by God to bless us. Whatever your past experience of the book of Revelation, whether that's zero, puzzled, annoyed, confused, enjoyment, whatever. Whatever your past experience, I want to start to reclaim it this morning. To reclaim it as part of Holy Scripture, as God's word to us today. To reclaim this as a book that concerns the age we live in. And to reclaim it as a book that is meant to be lived. To reclaim it as a book that God has given us to bless us. We haven't even got into the meat of the book yet. But hopefully these opening verses are whetting our appetite. Maybe even making us want to read right through the book for ourselves to start to get to know it better. And certainly making us look forward to the next few weeks as we rediscover this part of God's word and learn to live it out to our blessing.